Happy New Year, Bill. How are you?
Good. Good. Yeah. How's it going, Glenn?
Survived the
Steven?
Coach.
Survived the regular season, and now it's onward to the, as the old coach here used to call it, the tournament. The tournament. A couple things about the game on Sunday, and I know you said it after the game. If you knew what the problem was with the slow starts in the previous three games, you would have done something about it by now. Have you spent any time here since that game trying to figure out why you get off to these slow starts?
Yeah, well, we'll always try to, you know, look at what happened in the games and try to see what things we could do differently or what things we could do better, and, you know, if we played that team again, what things we remember from the game and so forth. So there's always a self-analysis of the and review of the game. We do that. So hopefully our next game we'll be able to improve on that.
Is it just a matter of adjustments? Because obviously you made some during the course of the game. It was a kind of a bizarre game. And then Buffalo had nothing to lose. They were doing some strange things, the fake punt and things like that. You probably don't see on every given Sunday. But is it simple adjustments, or is it just guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do?
Well, I mean, I think everybody's accountable. I think we got to do a better job of coaching, do a better job of playing. But our next team's a new team, so who knows if they'll play us the way Buffalo played us, or the way Buffalo played us, the way Miami played us, or Miami played us the way Denver played us, or whatever it is. So, you know, each week's its own challenges.
I was going to ask you about that. Your next opponent, three possibilities. You've played two of them already. You played Denver. You played Pittsburgh. You haven't seen Cincinnati. When you approach these games this weekend, do you spend more time thinking about the team that you didn't play, or do you let it play out and then start your preparations?
Well, we'll work on all three teams. And again, we have more information on two of them than on the third, but in the end, we'll get caught up with all three of them and then see how it plays out.
How much time is spent on these three teams, and when does it start, or has it started already, the preparation?
Oh, yeah, sure, it's already started, yeah.
Is it, say, Cincinnati today and, you know, Denver tomorrow and Pittsburgh the next day, or are they all the same, equal time devoted to these teams on a daily basis?
Well, like I said, we have to get caught up. So, you know, in the case of Denver, we only played them a couple weeks ago, so there's not a lot of new information on them from what we already had. We would add that in, though. We would add information into the Pittsburgh game, which was more around midseason, and then Cincinnati we're really starting from scratch on, but we would look at their games at the end of the season and you know, get the scouting report and break down information from them, you know, based on that exposure.
How does that translate to the practice field this week? Is it basically a generic practice, or do you work on something specific from any one of the three teams?
Yeah, I think both. Both. We do some things that we just need to do no matter who we play, and then we'll do some things that are specific to what we think we could see and what might be a problem that we might want to get a little bit of a head start on.
Mm-hmm. Use Devin McCourty as a safety in this game. Will we see more of him at that position?
You know, we haven't made the game plan. We don't even know who we're playing yet, so we'll have to see how all that goes.
Is there a specific reason that you use him at the safety spot?
We were trying to beat Buffalo. Trying to get our best players out there that we felt like could beat Buffalo. That's, you know, and whoever we play next, then that'll be the plan for them. We'll try to put our best team out there to defeat whoever the next team is we play.
What are the specifics that allow him to play safety and corner? I'm obviously the cover things, but aren't the entrance points to run defense different and some of the...
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. No, but, I mean, Devin's a smart kid. He runs well. He tackles well. He's got good anticipation, reads quarterback well. He communicates well. He's smart, so... I mean, I really think he could probably play in any of the four defensive backfield positions.
How did Chung play in the game?
You know, Patrick gave us some good quality plays. His first game back, there's some things that he obviously can improve on, but I thought that he, you know, was active and was in on a lot of plays.
Well, I noticed one time it looked like you were talking to your defensive backs about playing the ball or I don't know if it was playing the ball or finishing the play. But it seemed like they were in position again a few times, and and weren't able to finish the play a number of times. Has that been an emphasis in practice over the last few weeks or so?
Well, sure. Yeah, it's always an emphasis. I mean, that's the most important part of a defensive back's job is at the end of the play, you know, when the ball comes into the receiver, either, you know, making the judgment to knock the ball out, intercept it, can't get the ball, tackle him, which arm to tackle him with, all those things. So, yeah, that's an emphasis point every week. There were certain things with Buffalo and specifically with, you know, with their passing game that we tried to emphasize during the week and that I think as the game went along we did a better job with. So that's probably what you're referring to, mm-hmm. some coaching points specifically for that game, how to, you know, how we wanted to play them on certain routes.
You've had the bye several times here since you've been the head coach. Just from how you give the players time off, is it the same every time? I mean, every time you've had the bye, have you said, okay, we need, you know, 3 or 4 days here? Or have you mixed it up each time you've had the bye, either the number one or two seed?
Yeah, honestly, I'd have to go back and look at those exact weekly schedules to answer that. I'm not sure.
How about now? What do you feel like this team needs? Are you giving them, you know, 3 or 4 days? Is it still the same practice schedule? What's the approach?
We've talked about what we need to do, and we'll do the things that we feel like will most help us win our next game. I know we don't know who we're playing yet, but there are things that we need to do and things that I feel like we can get accomplished regardless of who we play. And so we'll try to have our schedule things in such a way that the time will be productive for us. So whether that's meetings, walkthroughs, practice, film, combination of all the above. But those are all opportunities for us to, you know, to be a better football team next week than we are this week. And hopefully we can take advantage of the time that we have and accomplish some of those things.
Bill, how big of an impact has Brian Waters been to your offensive line? You've gone through centers, obviously, with injuries. The right tackle spot, you've had some injuries. But it just seems like he has been steady every single week.
Yeah, he's done a great job for us. Very professional guy. You know, brings a lot of confidence, certainly a high level of performance. A lot of experience, but he's, you know, he's really a pro. He prepares well. He has good level of intensity, and you know, he's got a good playing style. Really understands what we're trying to do. He's a very instinctive guy. You know, he knows where the threats are, and sometimes he just he really has some very good plays where he drops one guy to go block another and kind of thing that you really can't teach. He just knows which guy's more dangerous and gets the one that gets the most important one. Sometimes it's not even his assignment, but he just has a sense as to which guy he needs to block, and he almost always gets the right guy. So he's a very instinctive player that prepares well. That's a great example for all of us. He's very, very, very good on and off the field. Very good teammate, and has the respect and has earned the respect of everybody here. You know, similar to, you know, Andre Carter on defense. You know, just coming in, and I mean, the difference of Brian was he wasn't even here for training camp. So, you know, he came in at the end of training camp, at the start of the season, and has really embraced the team, and the team's embraced him.
You had a couple other free agents signings that panned out better than I think anybody thought between Carter and Anderson. When you brought both those guys on board, did you picture what you saw there, pressure from both sides and both guys feeding off each other?
Well, I think they're two different players. I mean, they're both good players, and they both had a lot of production, but I think they're just different players, and I think that they complemented each other well. But now, of course, Andre's out. So, but, you know, Mark's a very, you know, he's a very athletic guy. I mean, he can get around the corner. He can, you know, get up and under and inside and run games, and very good in pursuit. He's quick. He's very active, you know. And Andre is probably a little bit more of a, you know, maybe a little bit better at the point of attack. Not quite as fast or as quick as Anderson, but has, you know, a good playing style and has a lot of experience and knows how to play, knows how to use his hands and has, you know, worked up against a lot of different types of offensive tackles, and has a way to deal with all of them. So You know, they're both good. Like I said, they both have a different style of play. And you know, fortunate that we've had both of them this year.
You've deferred on, it seems to me, just about every flip of the coin, and it's paid off for you because you've done a great job of being able to score at the end of the first half and then scoring that first possession of the second half. Is that set policy, or is it week to week, depending on
week
whatever?
Yeah, so week to week.
Mm-hmm. So
we talk about things before the game that, you know, our decisions that we would make within the game relative to things like that. And so depending on what the situation is in any given game, what the game plan is, or what we feel like we want to try to, if we have an option, what we want to try to do, we talk about those options. And on that game, we decide what it is, and then the next game may or not be the same thing.
What are some of those factors that would dictate whether or not you'd want to defer? Would it be the specifically the team you're facing? Would it be the weather? Would it be?
Yeah, it could be all the above.
Yeah,
yeah, the team, the weather, the, you know, how we want to start the game, offensively or defensively, or, you know, I mean, again, it all comes out in the wash. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you start with the ball in one half, the other team starts with it in the other half, so it's not like you're actually, you know, gaining something. You're just, it's a question of preference or timing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you don't have any control over it. That, you know, they, you don't win the toss and they do what they want to do. So I don't think it's that big a deal.
Who's your information guy during the game? I know that, you know, Rob Gronkowski now has a tight ends record all time by 17 yards over Jimmy Graham. Is somebody telling you during the game he needs X, and who is it? How does that process work?
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it really doesn't. I just, you know, I called that play, you know, and I told Billy to call it. I said, you know, let's just give Rob one more play here, because I really didn't know where it was, but, you know, I knew he'd gained some yards and just felt like, you know, he deserved, you know, given the fact that it was the last game and that last possession really didn't mean anything, that I thought he deserved, you know, a chance to catch another pass, and I didn't know exactly how far it was going to go or anything, but I just, you know, I thought he deserved that opportunity, and you know, Brian made a great throw to him, and he went up and made the catch, and as it turned out, it actually was the difference, but I really didn't know that.
I know what the numbers say, that the difference between Gronkowski last year and this year, but just from your perspective, a coach's perspective, what's the biggest difference between him this year and last year? I'm sure he's improved dramatically, but what's the...
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, again, last year was his first year playing football in really 2 years. This year, you know, he built off last season, and, you know, Rob's a smart guy. He understands when he makes mistakes, he corrects them, and he usually doesn't repeat those mistakes. You know, he's conscientious, and he learns from the experiences that he gains on the field and in practice and film study and so forth. So he's, you know, he's improved in a lot of areas, does a lot of little things. And we've done more with him. You know, we've put him in different locations and formations and asked him to run different routes relative to what he did last year. So, he, you know, his formationing and route running and even in the running game, you know, we've added a lot of more toss plays than we've had last year. So his blocking, receiving, and formation, all those have expanded from where they were last year.
Same thing with Aaron Hernandez. How
yeah,
different
yeah,
is he?
Same thing. Yeah, same thing. And we've expanded him too. I mean, you know, you start with a guy, you see what he can handle, and then you build on it. We build on it with both players last year over the course of the year, and then going into this season, we felt like, well, there was, you know, a little more room for expansion, and we've done that. But I don't think you want to start out giving a guy, you know, everything that, you know, he could possibly do, or it's hard to build a good base.
Is there a healthy competition between the two of them, or is it
Yeah, I think they learn from each other. They both, you know, do things and have made, obviously, some outstanding plays. And, you know, each guy can see other guys make those plays and learn from them because it can apply to them, too. And I think it's been very good. They compete with each other in practice, and they both practice well. Practice hard. They're both, you know, hard guys to cover in practice. We see it every day. They go up and take the ball away from us and you know, run routes and you know, really a lot of times they're very satisfied with getting open, even though the quarterback may not throw them the ball. It's just the fact that they've run a good route and gotten open and, you know, defeated the defense, they like that. So it's good, healthy situation.
You think it makes them both better?
Oh, absolutely.
Having each other there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And again, they can watch one guy do something and learn from that, good or bad, you know, and use it themselves.
I think it's amazing that the evolution of the position, not just with your guys, Hernandez and Gronkowski, but watching Jimmy Graham. He does some pretty special things, too. All the tight ends I grew up watching, and great ones, Kellen Winslow, Ozzie Newsome, for example. I don't remember them ever running an end around, for example, with Ozzie and Kellen Winslow. You know, when do you think we got to this?
I don't know about that. But
you saw it with those guys?
I think so. But, yeah, you know, look, anytime you have a good player offensively, I think you're always happy when the ball ends up in his hands. So, you know, however you can get it to him, screens, passes, runs, whatever it happens to be, you know, I don't think you're unhappy to see, you know, a player like that handle the ball, you know, Winslow or, you know, Ozzie Newsome or whoever it is.
Stephen Ridley, the advances he's made during the course of the season, obviously he's run the ball a lot more in the last few games. I take it, same thing, you've got a little bit more confidence in his ability now.
Yeah, we didn't ever not have confidence in him. I mean, he's, you know, it's really a question of opportunity, and you know, there were different factors over the course of the year that affected him. But, you know, when he's had an opportunity, he's been productive for us. So has Ben Jarvis. So has Danny. So has Shane, for that matter, when he's gotten some opportunities, like in a Kansas City game, and Kevin as well. So, you know, you can't give the ball to everybody all the time, but the most important thing is when they get it that they're productive with it. So, you know, then we're actually able to, you know, get a few plays out of Lusaka too, Polite, last week, so as a fullback. So that's something that we really haven't had here, you know, in a little while, and he was able to contribute as well. So, you know, we'll see how all that goes going forward.
How healthy is your offensive line? And along that train of thought, how is Cannon playing for you so far?
Well, you know, Marcus has had a really remarkable year considering where he came from, what he was able to do in training camp, which was nothing, in the first 6 weeks of the season, which was nothing. So, you know, he's pick up in mid-season as a rookie to, you know, come in and be able to, you know, do the things, you know, that we've asked him to do, playing tackle and then, you know, coming in situationally in short yardage and multiple tight end situations, things like that. You know, he's a smart guy. He's really worked hard to get his conditioning level up and to be able to go out there and perform, you know, against guys that are in midseason form without all that training camp that he missed. So he's done well. I mean, certainly he's got a long way to go, and it's exciting to think about what he could do, you know, with a full off season and training camp and everything else. You know, I'm sure that his game will improve when he's able to go out there and play with that as a background, as opposed to just jumping in there in the middle of the season and, you know, start playing.
Great story.
There are stories out there that there's interest in Bill O'Brien. What's your policy? How do you deal with, you've got a playoff game coming up a week from Saturday. Another team is interested in talking with one of your coaches. How does it work, Bill, so it doesn't become a distraction?
Yeah, it's all covered by league rules. What teams who are looking for coaches can do, what teams who's being approached with, you know, like us, that's being approached by the team, what we can do, it's all handled by league rules. So
how long's the window here? Is there a window? And
yeah, it's all the league, it's all handled, you know, there's league rules and policies on what teams can do, what they can't do on both ends of it, the asking team or the team that's you know, that has the coach that's being asked. So, but right now our focus is really just getting our team better and you know, getting ready to play our next game. And I know that's Coach O'Brien's focus, and that's everybody's focus. So, you know, that's what we'll work on. Whatever else happens, you know, a lot of that's really out of our control. We're not concerned about it.
I want to ask you about something that happened during the holidays. You had a presentation for Robert Kraft. It was a nice mural, a picture of the team, and pointing to the MHK. The season was dedicated to Myra Kraft. How did that come to be, and just your thoughts on that?
It was given to Robert by all the players and coaches on the football team. Everybody contributed equally to that, and it was kind of, you know, commissioned by a couple of our players to have it painted, you know, a special painting, obviously, in commemoration of her, to give to him as a token of and a gesture from this team, you know, which is a special team because it's the year that it happened, that he would have that from all of us, and that it was, you know, a great idea. A couple of the players brought it to me. We talked about it. We brought it up with the team. Team was, you know, fully supportive of it, and fortunately, we were able to you know, beat Miami and and present it to them in a joyous locker room setting. So,
do you think it surprised them a bit?
I think so.
You seem pretty emotional over it.
Yeah, it's accurate.
It's a nice moment. It was.
It was.
Yep.
And when you look at, you know, you just think about her, especially on TV, they always show his box and see her sitting there. It's still strange to me.
Yeah.
When they show his box and there's no Myra. Oh, you see no Myra. In the halls here, in the concourses, she's always.
Right. Yeah, she's always the first one I saw coming out of the locker room. I would see her outside the locker room prior to going into the, you know, the meeting room with the post game press conference. So, you know, she was always right there, very supportive, and yeah, we all miss her.
Yeah, she grew to become a great fan of football too.
Mm-hmm. Really,
especially from the first days.
Yeah, I was going to say, from
they're asking him, why are you spending $180 million?
Why buy this team to, you know,
football team?
Pretty good investment. Pretty good team.
I don't know if you remember, Robert owned the Boston Lobsters.
Boston Lobsters, yeah.
The team tennis at one time. That was his first acquisition of a sports team. It's come a long way from all of that. Bill, does the game change at all from the regular season to the playoffs? The essence of the game itself, does it change much? I mean, certain sports get more physical. Certain things happen. You know, basketball becomes more. They let more play out there. They let the guys hit each other a little bit more. Does football change at all?
No, I think it's just, you know, a higher level of competition. You obviously have the best teams, and there's no 2 out of 3, 3 out of 5, 4 out of 7. And I mean, it's a one game season, and it's a seventh game in basketball or a seventh game in baseball, whatever it is. It's all, everything's on the line in one game. So it's a high level of competition, and it's a one game season. So, you know, of course, you get everybody's best at that time. I mean, that's the difference.
How did Spikes do in his return to the game?
Good. I thought Brandon, I thought he reacted well. I mean, for somebody who hasn't played in a little while, you know, I thought his reactions and his, you know, his quickness, his recognition of plays and those kind of things were good. He had a good couple of weeks of practice, and I think he was able to transfer that onto the field. Sure, it'll get better, you know, with more repetitions and more tempo, but it was good to see him out there. It was good to see several players back out there against Buffalo, and I thought he showed up and definitely made some positive plays for us.
All right, Bill, it's time now for the coach's question of the week, brought to you by Lexus of Watertown. This week's question comes from John Call of Worcester. John wants to know, in your opinion, which player on the current roster would be a good coach after his playing days are done?
Well, if he talked to them, I'd say probably all of them. So, you know, they all
they want to coach next week.
Yeah. You know, that's a tough question. I mean, right now they're all players, and they've got a big job to do, and they're very good at it. That's why they're doing it. But, you know, we've been fortunate. We've had some guys that have had good playing careers that were very astute, well prepared players that had a great feel for the game that have gone on to coaching. Larry Izzo down in with the Giants, Mike Vrabel, you know, at Ohio State, you know, guys like that. Other guys, you know, on a high school level, several of our players are high school coaches. I think a lot of that becomes after your playing days are over, like what are their motivations? What do they want to do? Sometimes coaching can be frustrating. Sometimes it can be very rewarding. So that's, you know, up to each individual. But, you know, some of the guys that have done it, you know, have obviously done very well with it.
Some long hours, too, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of long hours in playing, too, you know, training and, you know, preparation and, you know, all the things you got to do to, you know, to be able to compete at that level. I mean, it's, look, there's thousands of people ready to step in and take, you know, any professional athlete's job. So either you maintain that high level of performance or there'll be somebody right there to snatch it away from you. So it's very competitive, whichever side of it you're on, playing, coaching, whatever it is. It's high competition, and a lot of people want that job.
Talking to a lot of guys that I played with, retired guys and whatnot, and they said one of the biggest things that you miss is the juice, the competition, and some guys find that in coaching. Some guys find that's kind of competition, that week to week either validation or exclusion of what you're doing, and I guess you got to have that to be a coach in the NFL. You got to love that kind of competition.
Well, it's certainly a way for us that couldn't play to be involved in the game.
Isn't it interesting, though, the coaches?
Those of us that could play,
right,
like yourself, you know, you had the opportunity to have that competition at this level. Those of us that couldn't do that, we get it on the coaching end.
Right. All right. But there's also some on the other end. A lot of us weren't smart enough to be coaches and we're dumb enough to play. So, but it's the competition.
Yeah, it is.
And guys, and I've been with you in locker rooms and I've seen you on the sidelines. And I know you love the competition, and you can tell that the guys that go in coaching from pro football are guys that just – they seem to just love the competition. Maurice Carthon, some of these other guys, Pepper.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Yep. You see it all the time.
Yeah.
That's why it's interesting to see some of these coaches, and they go and they do broadcasting jobs for a couple of years, and everybody keeps on waiting for Cowher to come back and Gruden to come back. And you wonder whether those guys don't miss those competitive juices. Because let's face it, you're not getting it in the media every Sunday when you're sitting around just BSing about these games.
Yeah, well, I've never done that, so I mean, I can't really speak to that part of it. But, you know, look, it's everybody's got their own individual preferences and goals, and we all go through different stages in life. Sometimes, you know, some things are more important than others, and sometimes that changes. So, you know, I don't know, you know, some of the people you mentioned are really some of the most competitive people, you know, that I know. But, you know, maybe they've had their fill of it. I mean, you know, just like when a player retires, I mean, you know, he's had enough. You know, he's satisfied with where he is and moves on to something else. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, it's going to end for all of us at some point anyway, so.
True. Wow, that's uplifting.
thanks for the optimistic view.
Well, for being selected, John.
How about the competition in the National Football League?
Oh, yeah.
Like, nobody plays forever. Nobody coaches forever. I mean, so, you know, at some point we all leave this game.
Yeah, and it is. The biggest adjustment was not having a place to compete and to figure out whether you win or lose. That was the roughest part of the retirement.
You still have guys like, you know, Phil McConkie, who, you know, is still running 100-yard dashes in Masters competitions.
That's right.
So, you know, it's different.
Yeah.
It's different for everybody.
Sure is. Yep.
By next Monday, we will know the opponent. We'll talk about him exclusively next Monday. We'll see you back here on Monday.
All right.
Have
sounds
a good,
good
week.
Thanks,
all right, Mike, Bill, Steve,
thanks.
Thank you.
Bill Belichick right here on The Big Show. Quick break, and then we'll get right back to the phone calls.